Welcome back to the Squat Plug, episode 11.
Squat today, Plug.
Squat Plug. I'm joined by Mark and Mateo. Last episode was pretty spicy. We've got a shit ton of responses, some very glowing responses, and a couple of very angry responses behind the scenes from Joe Sullivan and co, apparently.
I haven't heard anything. I've just been blocked by everyone.
Yeah, I know. So. I've been blocked by everyone
He's been
as well.
Blocked by everyone too, but somehow he knows.
Because he keeps stirring up more drama.
I'm literally responding to everything they're saying and catching them in lie after lie after lie. Like, I don't know how many lies I've caught them out on. He lied about his post being reported and taken down. Nobody reported, myself included. I know nobody in our team like reported him. He took it down. You saw liability there. He lied about, what else did he lie about? Lied about the reasons why he changed his bio. He made some references to ATP and other products.
He changed his bio?
He changed his bio to make from it more what convenient to what? For the people. Like, he had some stuff there, like, you know, like I'll talk about selling products and that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And that was all removed from there.
Ah.
And so now he puts everything into like a little discreet link instead.
Smart.
It's more convenient. And he lied about a whole bunch of other shit. So people asked him questions about the testing of the products of the facility, and instead he misdirected, and he said redirected, and he said, "Yes, so when I do my blood test, this is what I do, blah blah." And I was just like cringing the entire time. Just
he like, said, "He said this is beyond science."
Pretty much.
Well, this is beyond biology.
But they asked him a question about about the product, and he gives him an answer about his own fucking his own blood work instead.
Yeah.
He redirects it into that.
Typical deflection.
Deflection, gaslighting, outright lying. Bro, it was ridiculous.
He really just wants to throw the book at him.
So
castration.
To that also, they're talking about how they make mention about their testing and so on and so forth. One of the guys out there actually checked out their header and that their inspections and the testing for the goods that was only put on the website that same very day. After I had lambasted them for not having shit, for not doing that stuff, for not testing. So lie after lie after lie, misdirection after misdirection after misdirection, all this stuff there. And I caught him on all that stuff. And in addition to all that stuff, he also reported me to the WRPF. I had a lengthy conversation with Ashley at the WRPF about the podcast and about me calling Joe some mean names. And the WRPF was actually okay with the podcast. They were not okay with me calling him, and I regret having called him, quote unquote, Dr. Football.
Quote unquote. Okay,
it's a bad name.
I thought you said like quote unquote for regretting it.
We don't call people that stuff. It's very mean, because them selling illegal anabolics is, clearly not as bad as me calling somebody Dr. Footballhead.
Dollar store jackal.
Yes. Juice Willis. All that kind of stuff, though. So, either way.
So, moral of the story is don't trust people who make drugs in their bathtub and sell them to you online.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe before you inject something, you vet the company a little bit more. Find out whether they are accredited, what their accomplishments are themselves. Have they actually completed college? In which case, out of Joe and Jake... Joe has, but for exercise science, and Jake went to school for biochem.
Yeah, if you're injecting something in your body, you should be getting it from someone with a medical license.
Yeah, with a doctor maybe before their name, something like that.
Well, yeah.
Doctor something, so on and so forth.
I think it should go further than they should at least have gone to college. And, well, they should probably.
Yeah, I know. Like a doctor in this field, an actual expert, and fully accredited to be able to do that kind of work and to basically jump through the loops and hurdles, I guess, that, state regulations, require a person to do so to make sure people don't get poisoned from the product.
We don't have to go, into all that.
But no, but it's crazy. It's like basic shit. It's there for a reason. There are people who take tests, out there who I've heard horror stories, take tests and they end up with things like embolisms. They end up with things like massive infections. This is one guy I used to, trains in one of the gyms I train at, and he was he was huge. He was deadlifting 800 pounds, that kind of crazy shit. And he's very intelligent, very smart dude, so he actually went to school for this kind of shit, like chemical engineering, that kind of stuff, if I remember correctly. He got a dose of the stuff, injected himself with it, and ended up with an infection, types of which that basically end up with compartment syndrome. So when they debride the wound and all that kind of stuff, they literally had to open his leg up for them to save it. He was about to get his legs amputated. And this is a very intelligent person who knows how to pin, who knows basically how to test stuff and vet stuff and whatnot. And it still happened to him. So imagine Joe Schmoes out there, like, injecting random exogenous fucking compounds into the legs, which have not been vetted by anybody, you know, apart from some dude whose professors, like, thought highly of, you know? So, I don't know. Just the issue isn't people, I guess, like, in, you know, doing steroids or, like, you know, like, injecting, whatever the case is. You know, it's to each their own. What do you do behind, like, you know, closed doors?
Well, I mean, that is, you know, I mean, that's also not, steroids aren't healthy either.
Yeah, no, but if you,
if you're doing that for powerlifting, better hope you're bringing home some bacon, you know?
It's kind of hard to bring some bacon home from powerlifting, but
that's what I'm saying.
You may be able to bring some.
So you're gonna, so you're gonna risk your health for, like, yeah. You know.
And well, again, even when it comes down to that, it's none of our business. To each their own. Honestly, I genuinely believe that the issue is when you're selling the product to other people in the context that we're talking about over here. You know, like, you know, selling a product to the mass market that's out there. You know, people who, like, you know, who don't know the safety protocols over here. Don't know, like, to sanitize the area and so on and so forth, where to inject and so on and so forth. The mechanism of delivery, like, when it comes down to these things, like, location delivery, do you pin in the muscles here, or are you putting it into your veins? You know, like, how deep are you going into the skin? None of this stuff is discussed by these guys. It's just, like, here's a product.
Just take 10 milligrams daily.
Yeah.
You'll be good.
I don't know, just not to rehearse the whole conversation itself, but there was quite a bit of, I guess, of stir that, I guess, we caused. And it was obviously our most listened to podcast to date. Rightfully so. Yeah.
I feel like we might have gotten more listens on that specific episode than all the other episodes before that combined.
Borderline. Borderline. Not necessarily, but borderline. Nice. But so there's that. We also talk about powerlifting mama. Okay, to dad, and the amount of responses that I got for that was actually through the roof. I don't know if you guys heard anything about it yourselves.
No,
but
honestly, if outside of the USAPL, like, I have no idea what's going on in powerlifting.
Yeah, but
so unfortunately, I do.
Well, it's not an unfortunate thing. It was I'm just saying.
I know people that said that had, like, really bad experience with her as well, and they came up to me to talk to me about it after the episode aired, and they were like really bad experiences. Like,
really bad experiences.
Talk, like, about people, like, people. Going to, like, spot, like, the meets she would host, and she wouldn't pay them for, like, weeks at a time. Like, basically, she would give them, like, jobs, right, just so they can, like, be nice to her, just so she has somebody, like, back her up if shit goes south. So
she would do meet director of all time.
Legit, essentially having people be meet directors for her when she couldn't, promising them X, Y, and Z, and not fulfilling those promises and whatnot, and then saying, "Oh, but I'm busy with my kids," blah blah. So that's the worst kind of parent to be. You know, well, like, she's a horrible human being. The shit she did, you know, the scams and so on and so forth for the charity. So something else also, I found out that there are two Neverlone meets. Apparently, for the first one, from what I understand, she actually did provide the money to the donation to the charity. For the second one, that never took place though. So she did not, for the second charity, give money against the donation for the Mike Foundation, from what I understand here. I hit him up with an email. I'm waiting to respond to see exactly what took place there, if there's anything at all. And so far I haven't heard anything, but from sources who were in the mix, I heard that she indeed did not, confirmed, provide money for the second charity. She's not moved to Florida, but she's considering moving to Florida with her family, from what I understand right now. The church that her husband is a pastor at has launched an investigation into what's taking into the funds that her husband oversees, and has found, like, some abuse of the funds, where the money was taken from the church and was actually used for other things instead of what it was supposed to be used for.
Nice.
So she scammed multiple people in many different ways over here, from the church to charities, to people running meets and helping to run meets, to you name it, man. You know, just I don't know. It's just a bad person who's finally been outed. You know.
What sucks is she kind of just got away with it. Like, she's not even in powerlifting anymore.
She was at a meet, from what I understand, the other weekend.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's just gonna get away with it, probably.
I don't think so. I'm inclined to believe that things are finally gonna catch up to her. Things of this magnitude, they tend to catch up to people. You know.
Yeah. She could go from state to state, city to city, whatever. Meet new groups of people, They'll take her in for a few months. They might find out she's a piece of shit. She'll move on to the... She could probably get away with that for quite a while.
Well, that's when you enter, I guess, FBI territory. Once, you know, you start moving around like that.
Yeah, but the FBI isn't going to give a shit about her, some small-time scam artist ripping off some powerlifting meets.
Well, let's see. Let's see what happens. No, I don't think any one of us know. My optimist...
we need Dog the Bounty Hunter.
but let's see. So I had an outpouring of DMs talking about both people, about Joe and other like horror stories about him, personal shit and whatnot, which is tough to verify because you're looking at, I guess, like emotional things taking place there, you know, yada, yada. And also a whole lot of stuff about Kate Haddad, which can be verified because the people there firsthand experienced the shit and is actually very fresh. You know, I've been seeing a whole lot of that kind of stuff come out of the woodwork, and it's had me questioning why the fuck people didn't talk about this before. Why do we have to be the people to fucking present this? You know, why do we have to put out in the open? And it's also like quite a bit of vindication for me because for years I've told people exactly what type of person she is. And for years I've told people what type of person Joe Sullivan is. You know, not
we should change the name of this podcast to Powerlifting Justice Warriors.
Oh, Lord. All right, delete the whole podcast. Everything I set up from beginning to now, that's it. Cut.
No. Yeah, he's like, I will not stand for this.
No!
So, I don't know, so that's up. Either way, no, that's water on the bridge. It's an evolving situation. Heard some other stuff about Joe Sullivan, which we're not going to talk about tonight. I think it's evolving as well. And once I find out some more information on this and whatnot, might bring it to light. But something else to talk
we're
about.
We're coming for you, yeah. Joe.
Let's change the topic. Let's go from the untested to the tested.
I posted some questions. So I posted a question out to my stories asking what people want to talk about tonight, and I heard a couple of them. One was, what's the USAPL going to do to maintain its membership, considering the fact that Clout's been leaving? And the second question over here, because there's been a whole bunch of them, but I think these are two maybe we might want to start talking about tonight. Or at least introducing. Mm-hmm. The second is tested lifters in the IPF and USAPL, and just how tested they can be. In other words, you know, do we have fake natties in our midst?
Of course.
And there are some that I know myself.
We all know.
Yes. So let's start off with, I think, what do you guys think about starting off with USAPL and what it can do, I guess, to prevent the brain, the I would say brain drain, but it's like the, mm-hmm. the what is it, the DOTS drain. That's been happening.
The dust.
The game drain.
I mean, honestly, I feel like it might be a little too late at this point. I don't see them being able to salvage anything. Everybody's leaving this year. Next year, like everybody's, from what I heard, Bob is leaving. Petrie's leaving. Russ is leaving.
Yeah.
Who else? There's like a few more people.
All the big
Ashton names. Will probably follow Bob, if I had to guess.
But then there's going to be a void that needs to be filled. You know, are they still, could USAPL potentially stay alive through like, maybe like, I don't know, almost like a minor league status?
Do you think it might be like a...
Where you have like...
I feel like it's going to be like almost like a USPA on the tested side. You know how like USPA like has like fun meets, like they're not they don't have like all the strong dudes. Like it's just like a bunch of like mediocre...
You mean USPA National?
Yes, basically, right?
The like, stroke test.
Yes, it's just like a bunch of like mediocre lifters. Just they don't want to go in
the big
leagues because like they know they're not competitive.
Mediocre and USAPL matter too.
And USAPL like runs pretty fun meets. So compared to like Powerlifting America, they're like a lot more fun.
So look, it sounds like USPA 2.0.
That's what I'm saying.
So I think the overall like the better question here is basically what drives.
We can't just talk about the top 1%. You know, yeah, exactly. That's only the 1% of powerlifting.
But let's talk about what basically has kept the USAPL where it's at right now, despite the IPF doing what it's doing, and why things are kind of changing, and like what that means and what we can anticipate. So I think the reason why the USAPL has still remain relevant a couple of years after the breakup between the USAPL and IPF is because the gain drain didn't take place. You still had people like Russell Lurie, like Petrie, Bob, and these guys still competing out there, you know, in the USAPL, despite the fact that IPF existed and they could have won world championships out there. What took place, from what I understand, had some conversations with people, is that apparently when they directed the USAPL as to what to do to make things okay, to make USAPL sexy, the USAPL said, okay, we hear you, but I got better ideas. We're going to do this here instead. And I think they took it as an affront, like a slap to the face, from what I understand. In fact, not I think, but I was told they took it as an affront. So I said, all right, they didn't give a shit about what we have to say, what we actually, like, you know, us caring about the Federation, I guess we move on to, like, elsewhere, like fucking the different waters. And so they're moving out there. So right now, how the UCPL stands is that it has more meets. It has more meet directors. It has more referees and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Which adds, the establishment right now is way, way more expansive for the USAPL than it is for the IPF. Powerlifting America over here has a couple of meets per year. You know, like what is it, like maybe a dozen, two dozen meets a year, like in that range. That's how few they have. You know, you go out to like Texas, USAPL Texas has like a couple dozen per year. That state alone, mm-hmm. in the USAPL. So, as I think, as the talent leaves the USAPL and it goes to Powerlifting America, what's going to happen is the people who follow the talent are also going to do the same thing. They're going to follow them to Powerlifting America. Following the Powerlifting America provides Powerlifting America with a lot more money, a lot more resources, a lot more attention, and it basically shifts the demographics in their direction. As that happens, they're not going to have the problem not having enough meets. As that happens, you're going to find that people are going to have just as many meets in Powerlifting America as they do in USAPL.
Hmm.
And the fact that it's a sexier federation because of the world championships being legitimized and that kind of stuff will draw their attention there. How the USAPL could have prevented this happening was through the Pro Series. And I heard this as well. Brandon Petrie spoke about this at length. He said that they had them. They had the IPF dead to rights. With the Pro Series. There are people internationally who are considering coming to the U.S. to compete in the Pro Series despite being IPF members. The cash pool, all that stuff, the prestige, all that stuff was there. And then we saw what happened to the Orioles, where it just fell flat in its face. You have people competing at the Pro Series at meet after meet after meet just to show up over there and have none of them fucking matter for anything.
Yeah.
You know, Sophie, for example, you know, is a case in point in that. You know, there was nothing special that took place for her winning the, whatchamacallit, the series. Mm-hmm. Like Pro Series, my ass. You know, so that basically is what undermined them. And now they're basically trying to push in that direction and also pushing in the international direction at the same time and putting a little bit too much direction into the international, international focus. Now, when it comes to these other countries out there, like Germany and so on and so forth and whatnot, the established powerlifting meet directors and these guys and whatnot, they're established and they're in the IPF. There's nothing that's going to shake them and tell them you should leave the IPF and join the USAPL instead.
The only way that they would have been able to make that happen was if international athletes joined the Pro Series. That way, maybe like athletes from different countries would be like, you know what? If the best athlete from my country is doing like USAPL, maybe I want to try and meet with them.
But the incentive for those athletes
was also why they've been trying to set up organizations in like Australia.
Yes, of course,
Korea.
Of
course.
So the incentive for these bigger athletes to go to the USAPL was a cash prize. And then what really put the dagger into the USAPL's heart was the Sheffield. Not just the cash prize, but the way it was done. That was a sexy fucking meet. The way it was filmed, the way they presented everything, the way things were done. I think maybe the refereeing could have been a little bit better, to be honest. Whatever. It was quite inconsistent, but that's neither here nor there. What I do know is that I was impressed by it. I watched every single minute from start to finish without interruption. I was like legit. I was captured by it. You know, I don't think I've ever had that happen for any other meet that I've ever watched remotely. USAPL has no answer to that, and that they're cemented it for them.
Even the Pro Series is not as fun as the Sheffield.
Could have been.
But also, I think the fact that the way that the Sheffield was ran, like the way that they had, like they didn't. It was not based on dots. It was based on the world record. It made you want to watch every single lifter, like, go.
Yeah.
But, like, with the Pro Series, it's like...
That was unique. I like that.
With the Pro Series, cool. You know there's lifters, like, they're not going to be able to compete with the top three, so you don't even want to watch those lifters, right? But if everybody has a chance to, like, win...
Exactly.
To, like, beat the world record total, you're like, okay, I want to watch this.
Yeah.
I want to watch every single lifter
that's going. Yeah, no, I really liked how they did it that way.
Speaking of Sheffield, just not to... You know, maybe, I don't know, should we even talk about this right now?
I want to know now. Tell me.
The lifter who popped positive.
Which one?
Someone popped positive to Sheffield?
After the Sheffield.
Ooh!
Did they compete at the Sheffield?
They did.
What country were they from?
I think Trinidad.
Oh, the female lifter.
Yes. So she popped positive. I'm not sure what substance she popped positive for, but she popped positive.
It makes sense because I remember...
The attempt selections.
Remember when we were watching the meet and she almost bombed out?
So she almost bombed out. And I was just like wondering what the hell's going on here. Like, what is up with these attempt selections? And I've seen people who have been on sauce and cycled off, like a fake natty or two that I actually know.
I'm sorry.
Bless you. You know, like experience the same thing. You know, like they basically are anticipating this much more strength because that's what they had in training. You cycle off of whatever compounds you're on or whatnot, that strength disappears. Now, all of a sudden, that RP6 lift is like an RP9 or 10. It maybe takes you a couple of attempts to make it. And maybe a couple of judges looking the other way and saying, ah, we'll give it to her. And lo and behold. However, we'll see. See what takes place. I mean, I'm, as of right now, from what I understand, she's pretending as though it, whatchamacallit, was something outside of her control, that it's not actually true, whatever the case is, denying the allegations.
Yeah, Chandler Babb.
Chandler Babb, yes. That's her name. Yeah, so I don't know. Like, some of the there are red flags there that we saw while watching and whatnot, and lo and behold, confirmed. So that did take place there, which brings us to the next point. When it comes down to testing in the USAPL versus IPF. Now, to their credit, USAPL keeps things quite open, Mark. They keep an open record of the tests they do and who's positive and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. On the contrary, the IPF has no publicly available like fucking records that I can locate. I've been searching and so on and so forth. I can't seem to find any kind of registry. How many people have been tested? How many countries have people pop positive? None of that stuff. It's very opaque. USAPL, to their credit, is actually quite transparent when it comes to that. So I don't know. I mean, there are many different ways that people could game the system and that kind of stuff. And with Chandler Babb doing, you know, coming up positive right now, it proves the fact that indeed it is possible and that it is actually happening right now, because people are saying that there's no fake natties and so on and so forth. I think Priscilla Beauvoir was talking about how the IPF has stringent testing procedures and that kind of stuff a couple months ago. And you're like, people can't be fake natties, and lo and behold.
Remember when we were looking at that post, trying to find it, and we couldn't find it?
Yeah, no, I was looking for it. I was looking for Priscilla's a post about that, the whole fake natty thing and so on and so forth. Because they, like rightfully so, they always receive allegations that, you know, people are on sauce and so on and so forth, PEDs, and she was refuting it. But I didn't think the logic that she presented there was the most compelling, to say the least.
No, I think that's fair.
You know, but I do have somebody who actually is a little bit more knowledgeable when it comes down to like testing for PEDs. And I think maybe next episode we bring him out here and we talk to him about it, ask him a couple questions and see what he thinks about, you know, people getting away with things and how testing should be done, more optimal kind of stuff. Back into the USAPL and the IPF, I think it may be outside of USAPL's control right now to stem the flow of people from USAPL into Powerlifting America and IPF.
I think so too.
I get
they had that ball, the ball in their court, and just blew it.
They did. They fumbled the bag, quite literally.
Mark, are you thinking about going to Powerlifting America?
Not
really. You have a chance to compete for a world championship?
Right.
Maybe if you get your bench a little bit up. Maybe if you bench like
damn,
three plates.
I knew. I was like, are we going to go a single podcast without him talking about my fucking
bench press? We didn't do it last time.
Or lack thereof. Or lack thereof.
We didn't do it last time because I didn't speak at all, because Yuli was the only one speaking it.
Oh, yeah. So I guess we went one episode without Mateo talking about my bench press. I'm trying, okay? Leave me alone.
You got to blame it on the trip to Arizona.
That's it.
Ugh, you heard his knee. God, I did.
Yeah, hurt his knee, so he can't bench.
There's no leg driving bench press now.
Oh, man, I had a rough training session today, so let's not go there.
Yeah, I had a rough one yesterday, too. So like they're about to explode.
But
I don't know. I think we'll have to see how many top people actually leave in the next year or two.
More like next 6 months.
And then, I mean, if you think it's going to happen that quickly, I don't know.
Everybody's talking about it. Like everybody, they already like.
Yeah, decided. But I just think like even if say like every, first and second place finisher from every weight class left, like you still have the rest of the top 10 that'll slide up to the top 3 spots, and like the USAPL isn't going to go anywhere. I understand that makes it.
They're not going to go anywhere, but nobody's going to give a fuck about the USAPL national champion.
So what it comes down to is also the copy.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean just because people or you think that people aren't going to care doesn't mean that USAPL is going to cease to exist.
No, so it's not going to cease to exist. It's going to gradually. It's going to basically. It's going to wane. And so what also?
Yeah, I don't disagree. It's just. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how they play that hand.
Well,
is
just,
all.
I'm curious to see that as well. But I think it's the deck is handily stacked against them.
You know, I definitely agree with that.
The Russellites, you know, are going to be leaving in their droves once he goes to Protestant America because they are.
What about Noriega? Has anybody heard?
He's going to stay.
Well, yeah, he's not in contention for first place.
No, he doesn't.
He loses to Delaney or like Russell again. Ooh.
Yeah, but okay, so if he stays in the USAPL, he has a pretty massive following.
He does.
But he's going to keep a lot of people in the USAPL.
He would, but his following versus Russ's following.
I get that, but you know that the USAPL is going to prop up people like Sean, who are going to end up sliding into the top spot.
Yeah,
that's how it's gonna. I think you're right. It's the actual competition is gonna go to another federation, and yes. That's just the fact of the matter now. Though with the powerlifting pool in general.
Yeah, but I think what ultimately informs what takes place in the future is gonna be basically where the competition is at. USPA had some fun ass meets. For a long time, I want to say the USPA meets were way better than USAPL meets, at least the ones that I went to. You know, particularly
what
Northeast
kind of meets
region.
You go to?
Recently, I'm talking about 2-3 years ago, whatnot. You know, the USPA meets were handily funner. The energy was a lot better over there. USAPL, I found, with my limited experience in Northeast during that time, was a lot more boring, a lot more drab. That said, where the competition went to, which federation had more lifters, was, at least for the tested side, was the USAPL, because that's where the competition was. You know, and so if that happens, the competition goes over to Powerlifting America. I think the same thing's going to happen, whether or not Sean Noriega has his zealous fans in the USAPL or not. You know, just it's a matter of time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think the competition is going to go somewhere the top three of each weight class or whatever. Let's say that they go and start competing against each other in Powerlifting America.
So you get first place in
but now you're gonna have other people that are gonna go head to head against each other and sure it's could sit here and be like that's not the real top three people but people are still gonna care and pay attention. Well,
yeah, those people will see themselves.
Huh?
My question is, whether they themselves will care about that. If you win USAPL Nats, right? You take first place in your weight class out there the 1 year. And you go out there the next year, you're gonna win it again, or you have a chance to win it again.
But now those people are gonna care also about the pro series, because they were not gonna be pros if Bob and Ash and all these people stayed in the USAPL. But now the fifth, sixth, seventh place holders are gonna have a chance to become pros. So they're gonna want to stay in the USAPL.
That's pretty much my point. And sure, you could say it's not, it's
But again, it's a placeholder.
You could do,
until they get good enough to compete against the
IPF. I feel like now,
and then you join the
UCPL might be like the second division, federation.
Well, that's what I said earlier, minor leagues.
Yes, almost. Pretty much.
Yeah, until Powerlifting America starts doing what the USAPL does.
Do you think they can start giving away money?
I think the stupid feud between IPF and USAPL is they should just. Forget about that and allow the top people from each fed to. They should do one big meet, a Sheffield type of thing.
Send a message at to the Stone. See what he says.
I know. I'm just saying, hypothetically.
Farage, how about we leave these petty squabbles aside and have ourselves a grand meet?
I get it. I get that it's a hypothetical and it's a stretch because of how much of a fucking moron that guy is.
He's but interesting to say the least.
My point is that's the point of your that's your contention, right? Is the top people are all split apart, right? And they're not able to compete against one another. So if you could figure out a way to do a Sheffield style or an actual pro series where you have people from all, untested or tested federations, rather, be able to come together and compete against one another.
I think that would be cool, regardless of the federation.
Who's going to run it? Who's going to allow it?
Article 15.
14.
14. Sorry, I'm just...
Nobody's going to allow it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, that's the issue.
That alone precludes
that from happening. Again,
yeah, but rules were made to be broken, Mealy.
Yeah, and broken and all, so you can't compete in IPF Worlds next year.
Fuck IPF Worlds.
We're all
fuck
rebels.
IPF. You know?
And it's not just IPF Worlds.
I'm also a loner, Dottie. A rebel.
Nothing. Like, you cannot do Sheffield, you cannot do Worlds, you cannot do anything if you actually get caught competing or like...
All right, well, like, okay, then, you know, the fact of the matter is Russ left, a few other people are probably going to leave.
But it's not just a few other people. These are like huge names in USAPL.
I get that.
The only way that Powerlifting America is going to become bigger than USAPL is if they start giving away money. Until then, I don't see...
And when the demographics shift and they
don't have the means to put together meets. Like, even if they have...
Because they don't have the money yet.
Yeah, but like...
Yet. Operative word, yet.
I agree. But it's... The USAPL already has like an entire operating system in place.
It does.
People all across the country
which
can set up these meets.
Yeah, but it's run by money, and these people set up these meets because they make money at these meets.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Once they make more money doing so for Powerlifting America meets, they will move in that direction. You know.
Yeah, my point is like you can. They'll have people come, you know, they have people all over the country that can show up to a convention center with the truck and have a meet set up in an hour.
Yeah.
You know.
And when the money's right enough in the Powerlifting America, they will switch over.
America doesn't really have that infrastructure yet.
Not yet. Operative word, yet.
But they also don't have the people to run those kind of meets.
Yet.
They don't have the knowledge.
I wouldn't say they don't have the knowledge.
Do you think like a lot of meet directors from USAPL are going to shift to like, America?
So if USAPL
already have.
So if USAPL does a good job of maintaining its talent, and it's very tough to maintain to keep that talent there, to keep that experience there, if you're misadministering, if you're mismanaging, if you're not doing right by people, if your lifters who are telling you what to do to make things better are seeing the fact that you're telling them that you don't give two shits about what they have to say and whatnot, imagine what's taking place with the other aspects, meet directors and so on and so forth. What's happening at state director levels and that kind of stuff? This is my question. We've heard issues of this stuff, grumblings in the past. You know, apparently things aren't being taken care of the way they should. What's keeping those people from defecting and moving over to Powerlifting America? Frankly, nothing. Just a matter of time before they do so. Once the demographics shift in the direction of Powerlifting America, I think it's going to happen. Unless the USAPL's leadership really gets its shit together. Like, really. I see some people out there, like Eric Cordero has some amazing things he says. You know, I follow stories, I look at the stuff and whatnot, and I'm like the entire time I'm like, wow, this dude really knows what he's talking about. So I'm curious to see who he's contending against, who's preventing these things from being enacted. You know, and like, or what the USAPL leadership could do, I guess, to fix things over here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but as long as I'm hearing about USAPL Australia and USAPL South Korea and USAPL so and so forth and whatnot, as opposed to like the pro series being actually launched and pushed the way it should be and whatnot, mm-hmm. I know that we're fighting a losing battle here.
Mm-hmm.
I say weird because I identify with the USAPL right now. I'm a USAPL lifter. I'm a USAPL coach. And proudly so. I want them to succeed. However, though, I see them perpetually shooting themselves in the foot. You know? You had something going for yourself. Why switch into the international capacity? You know, into uncharted territories that you're not used to. You know? With an established franchise who plays as dirty as humanly possible. Yeah. It takes people hostage and fucking Article 14s them.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously were hoping that was going to go better.
They were.
That was their way of having a world level meet for USAPL still, and it backfired.
It didn't go. Dude, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. You know, is the saying. You know? Legit. Instead of just like pushing the pro series, like, okay, we can have a pro series and push worlds. Oh, and by the way, who cares about the pro series? Worlds is what we're going
to
focus on.
But then they couldn't even push their world.
They couldn't.
International.
You saw what happened to USAPL China, right?
Yeah.
And what?
So USAPL China was formed, and then China came in and said, oh, by the way, no. No to your existence. So that's China powerlifting. Who happens to affiliate with USAPL, but it's not USAPL China. You see, it's like that weird, like, you know, pseudo-territory thing. You know, this is what's going to happen over and over again when they find themselves confronting countries whose powerlifting federations are in cahoots with the government as opposed to just like being free entities like in the US. USA, America, you can have USPA, USAPL, IPF, you name it, whatnot. There's no issues there. Yeah. You could have a Chinese powerlifting federation operate in America, it wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah,
true. You can't do that in some of these other countries. You know, so for them to do that, to not consider these things before they started making these moves, I don't know, man. It's not the soundest of judgment right there.
You've been saying that for a long time.
I have been saying it for a long time. Yeah. I think I said this in episode 2. I should you not.
It's episode 2, and I predicted all of this.
Yeah. One of the two of them. I mean, so, quote, because I'm very, my memory is
the thing is, like, trash, you could almost see it coming, though. It was not like something that
no, I know.
No, but they very easily could have seen this coming. What, like, and they saw the hype that was being built around the Pro Series. Why would you move into something else? Like,
I don't know. I just out of touch with reality, maybe.
Some of these people drink a little bit too much of their own Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
You know, they saw they're being successful. They said, oh, how about we try this next thing? And boop.
Yeah.
I think what happened, they got like really complacent with the fact that they had like all the big athletes.
Yes.
In the USAPL. They were like, you know what? They'll stay here. They're not going to go anywhere. They support us this time. Yes. So, like,
yeah, they took them for granted.
Yeah.
And listen to what Brandon Petrie had to say. They spoke to them. They had like a meeting, like after, like, whatchamacallit, I think after Arnold's or after the Nationals, whatever. And they sat down with them. He said, okay, so this is what's happening, blah, blah. How about you try this? And they went ahead and they said, from what I understand, that, this is tradition. This is how we're going to do things. This is our habit of doing things over here. So we're not going to make those changes.
Hmm.
And people just said, okay, if that's the case, then you don't give a shit about me. And I shouldn't give a shit about you. So now maybe it's time that I do what's right by me and my career as a powerlifter.
Hmm.
Hence, the gain drain, hence people moving over to other federations.
Gain drain.
You know? For lack of a better phrase. But I don't know. If I was USAPL right now, I'd be making the Pro Series as sexy as possible.
Yeah.
I'd be upping
probably
the cash
their best
prizes.
Bet. Yeah, for sure.
I'd be working on getting some
Do
funding.
Do they have enough money to up the cash prizes?
If they have millions of dollars, right? So we took a look at the tax reports and we saw what was happening.
I mean, they're going to the wrong places, though.
So they're going, I don't know.
Yeah, well,
so that's neither here nor there. But you know, the money can be made, and it can come into the sport itself by reaching out to the advertisers, the sponsors, and so on and so forth, and getting that money in there. Speaking to new sponsors, new advertisers, you know, that kind of stuff, getting that cash in there. There are people saying that money isn't the issue with the sport and so on and so forth. They say, oh, basketball back in the day didn't need money, but this is a day and age where social media is a real thing. You know, this is what drives sports. As long as, I guess, we don't make it sexy, we don't present this sexy and whatnot, which requires money, we're not going to make that happen. What makes things sexy is big cash prizes. What makes things sexy is fucking excellent about production, which you guys have been following. But, you know, you have Marshall, like, who works with USAPL. Mm-hmm. He's doing a phenomenal job of that.
Yeah.
You know, Marshall Powell.
Yep.
You know? And I think we need more of that. We need to have those people put more to the front. We need amazing meat directors out there doing what they need to do, you know, and like running phenomenal meets, like, which is what happened at Northeast Regionals recently.
Yeah.
And Southern Regionals. I want to see some very, very well run meets. I want to see the best run meets I've ever seen by the USAPL period. We need more of that stuff. And that's not cheap.
No.
That requires money.
Yep.
Again. So I think they need to grow their coffers however they can. You know, and start to work on that. And as they do so, they're going to find the problem will suddenly and unexpectedly correct itself. Because, again, the one thing which put the dagger through the USAPL's heart was the Sheffield. And the theme there was the money, the cash prizes.
That's fair.
You know, powerlifters want to get paid. You know, they don't want to just show up to meets and come and go back home empty-handed with, like, with a plastic trophy. You know, they want to go in and say, holy shit, I can make a living off of this. The Sheffield gets
I think we're still pretty far from that.
Currently, yes. But I think there are ways to address that and to deal with
it. You know, maybe the first place, potentially second place finishers are, you know, could live off their earnings, their annual earnings from powerlifting, but we're still pretty far from that being a reality. So I don't know. It'll be cool to see how the sport continues to grow in the next couple of years. But as far as this whole USAPL fiasco goes, I don't know. I don't really have any predictions.
I don't know. I'd say if I was a betting man, I'd say that give it another year or two, the landscape's going to change drastically, and I think Powerlifting America is going to find itself in the foray based off of the decisions that the USAPL has made to date, you know, and the continued decisions that they've made. And I'm hoping for the best. Again, I'm pro USAPL, but just being realistic at this point.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know,
you're gonna move to Powerlifting America?
I don't have any pretensions to do so. No, I mean, I think maybe if I was like in contention to be number one in the world, then perhaps maybe I'd consider it. But even then, I just there are ethical issues that I have with the way the IPF runs itself that would keep me away from that. You know, if I'm number one in the world and my doubts is the best and so on and so forth, you know, what do I need a fucking trophy to tell me that? You know, and why would I sell myself out, you know, for a federation which really doesn't give a shit about its fucking lifters, you know, as evidenced by what happened in South Korea and many other instances.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I think that's totally fair. I'm pro USAPL too. I don't really see any reason to, I don't really see any reason to make the switch. I hope USAPL continues to, I don't know, figure something out. And I don't know.
I don't want to speak about myself. Because I'm the odd one out right now.
Yeah, I know. We'll see what happens. Yes. That's it. Guys, anything else?
I think that, I mean, Mark is kissing his cat, so yes, I think he's done with
the... To the viewer audience, yes, that's Mark kissing his cat.
What do you mean by that?
So she distracted me. She distracted me.
He really loves his cat. He's very fond of his cat.
to his credit...
You're making it worse, man.
Nina is fucking adorable, but, you know... Hold on a second. Let me get that cat. thank you guys for joining us. This concludes episode 11. Stay posted. We got some bigger and better things on the come up.
So next week,
on the horizon,
have an expert on the
toxicology.
Yes.
The toxicologist.
Yes. Toxicologist will be joining us next week.
So we can talk about drug tests and
more depth. Drug tests and half lives of these drugs and how you can cycle off.
Drug testing and fake natties.
Yes.
Yeah. Because there's certainly ways you can cycle off this stuff. And
yeah, but let's keep it for next week. Keep it for next week.
Okay. All right.
All right, perfect.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah. Peace.
Later, everyone.
Peace. Cool.